Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in today. So here's my question to kick off our conversation first hour. Do you find yourself praying the same prayers over and over again, or saying the same things to God when you talk out loud? And does a thriving prayer life feel completely out of reach? Well, my guest today is Lisa Whittle, and she joins me to talk about her new book, Five Word Prayers, Where to Start When You Don't Know What to Say to God. And it's a devotional, a 40-day devotional. We've got several copies. We'd love to get your name in the drawing. You know the drill. This is how we're going to do it. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. That's livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. You can put five word prayers in the subject line, and then remember that mailing address. A couple quick announcements before we hear from Lisa. We have a growing network, and we're so grateful, and I just want to make sure that we give a shout out. If you're brand new to the Faith Radio family, listening in from one of our markets, we want to say welcome to the family, and we're so honored to encourage you in your faith journey. So for those of you who are veteran listeners, indulge me for a moment, but a big shout out to friends. If you're brand new to Faith Radio, listening in on 89.1 FM in Bismarck, we're so honored to have you listening, or 94.1 FM in Hartford. Honored to be in your area as well. 93.1 FM in Waterloo, 104.7 FM in Madison, one of our two FM signals in the Twin Cities, 90.7 or 97.5, or streaming online maybe. Either way, we're glad to have you listening. If you're brand new to the Faith Radio family, send me an email and put new listener in the subject line. My email is susie@myfaithradio.com, and don't forget that mailing address. Also, if you'd like a welcome packet, I'd love to get one into your hands. You do that by asking for it on our website, myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Lisa Whittle is a leader, author, and speaker with a heart and passion to communicate one thing, that Jesus is everything. Her love runs deep to see people pursue Jesus for life, grow deep roots of faith, and walk strong in the midst of a world that so often seems to have gone crazy. She is a wife and mother of three, and she resides in North Carolina. Lisa, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Susie.
Always good to chat with you, my friend. And you know this because you've been on plenty of times. We like to start out by talking scripture. Wondering if you've just been pondering a verse these days that you can share with us.
Well, yes, yeah, certainly. I would say a verse that's been on my heart a lot lately, just really in the midst of so much going on, is Hebrews 13:8. I love it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm just so grateful for the consistency of God and his stability in just these tough times. Just something I've been really chewing on these days and thinking about a lot.
Mm. I'd love you to say a little bit more about that, because you're right. You just turn on the news. You talk to people. Things are being shaken, right? And so talk about just what that, the stability that that word and the truth of it brings to your soul.
Well, I just, you know, I guess the fact that the hope and the peace that the Lord brings, and the fact that, you know, even as other people fall and other people, as we all struggle, but as we look to leadership and we say, you know, oh, you know, they've fallen away, or this person is involved in this, you know, but Jesus remains. Those three words just mean everything to me. And the fact that it's the same Jesus, the same God of yesterday, the same God of today, the same God of forever, that I'm building my life upon, that I have banked my entire life upon, that no matter what happens and no matter what comes, I have not given my hope to a God that's not worthy. And so those things to me mean everything, because then that means that no matter what happens, my world doesn't really change because of where I've put my faith. And so for me, that's beautiful and very important right now, especially.
Indeed. You're building your house on a rock, so the storms may come, but we're not moved because Jesus is beneath us, before us, and all around us. Love that. Well, you've written a lot of books, Lisa. Talk about how this one was first born in your heart.
Well, Five-Word Prayers is a different kind of book for me. As you know, it's a devotional book. I've never written a devotional book before. And so I really was kind of at a point in my Christian walk where, you know, I've been a believer since I was 6 years old, and my father was a pastor. So, you know, I've grown up in a ministry life, in a Christian family, and in a pastor's family. So as you can well imagine, I've heard a few sermons on prayer. I've heard, you know, read a few books on prayer. I know a few things about prayer. But, you know, I think all of us, you know, struggle in this area to some degree. No, it doesn't matter how long we've been a believer. It doesn't matter how long we've known Jesus. It's just an area that a lot of us desire deeper intimacy and to communicate more with our Creator. And so I found myself at a place that certainly that was true in my life, and I was wanting to dive in deeper. And so I did what we all tend to do, and that is I reached for a new book on prayer to kind of read and follow some kind of a formula, if I could, on what to do next. And I began to be overwhelmed as I read. It was a great book. There's nothing wrong with the book. But as I was reading and as I was studying, you know, I began to be overwhelmed by all these steps that I needed to take, according to what was in the book. And I just kind of just felt defeated. And what I've noticed about us as human beings, because we're all more alike than what we think, is that when we don't feel like we're very good at something, we tend to just not want to do it at all. And so I was feeling rather defeated in my prayer life, and I thought, you know, I'm just not going to be the kind of prayer that I want to be. I'm not going to have that kind of really, really deep prayer life that I want. And so I just felt very defeated, and I went to bed one night. I'll remember right around that time, I went to bed, and just I lie there in the quiet and the dark, and I began to just pray the only words that I had at that moment, because I had some things that were really deep in my heart. You know, life had sort of taken words from me, but the only words that I could say to the Lord were, "I love you, Jesus, help." Now, I was not trying to write a book on called Five-Word Prayers. I was not trying to come up with five words. I just simply, that's what I had at that moment. And in that moment, something happened that, you know, I guess I had always known this, but it was just like God renewed my spirit to remind me that prayer was not about word count, that it was about heart intent. Because in those small five short words, he really ministered to my heart and accepted that small prayer, that small offering, really, of just heart intent. And so it just kind of led me on a journey to think more about offering him my heart in whatever form that took and see where it went and not be so rigid on saying all the right words and offering him all the many words at once, which I think is our tendency to do to try to please him. What he wants is our heart and whatever we can offer at that moment. And so that's really where the book was born.
So these five-word prayers, you've got 40 days, and each devotional entry is a five-word prayer. I have to imagine as you started to dig deep on the idea that God did something in and through you. What surprised you about the process as you look at all these five-word statements of just simple yet deep prayers? I'm your precious child. With you, life makes sense. Thank you for carrying me. What happened in you, Lisa, as you worked through this book?
Well, a lot happened, Susie, really. I mean, you know, so some of the things that surprised me were, you know, one thing in particular was I realized how many of these things I hadn't really uttered to God in a way of prayer, right? So you are my great joy, you know. I don't know that I had ever offered that to him in a way of prayer, saying to him, you know, you're the joy of my life. I mean, you know, I don't know that I had expressed that, of course, or maybe not in those terms. You know, I think I've thought it before, you know, which certainly prayers can be in our mind. It's not that. We don't have to say them out loud, but I just think I think I had missed some prayers that I really started paying attention to, some things that I maybe hadn't told God before. And so that meant something to me. you know, just the sweetness of offering him five words, sitting in quiet and seeing where it went. You know, I think, you know, a forgotten art in today's world is stillness and quiet. We're so distracted. We're so, you know, bogged down by all the many things. And I know we all have busy schedules, don't get me wrong. So I don't have, you know, I think we need to, I know, I understand that. But I also know that there's something about being still before the Lord and waiting on him to speak back to us in our heart. And so it kind of surprised me, you know, how often I don't do that. And I rush through and just tell him all the many things and then, okay, bye. You know, that kind of a thing. Not that I say, okay, bye, but you know, you get what I mean.
Yep.
So those kinds of things surprised me as I wrote the book.
Well, even like one of your, it was day 15, I need you desperately today. To be able to whisper that prayer, but then to wait to hear what he has to say. You know, if we're not listening for his response, we're missing out on the best parts of the conversation, I would say. But say more about, you know, so entering into the stillness and then bending an ear and listening. When you utter your heart's cry, Jesus, I need you desperately today, what he might say in return.
Yes, I mean, you know, it's beautiful to say that and then just wait, you know, and the verse that goes with that is Hebrews 4:15-16. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I mean, that's what we're doing when we utter those five words, I need you desperately today, and just sit and see, you know, what he has to offer us in that regard. And of course, we know he has lots to offer us, his peace, his, you know, his love, all those things that we can feel tangibly. You know, he feels, he sees, he knows, you know, all of that, as one who's gone before us. And that's a beautiful gift that I think we're missing out on when we don't pray things like that.
That's what's really so sweet about this book, is it makes it so accessible. Five-word prayers, we can do that. So you just start by giving a few minutes, and then you wait. And you know what? Those few minutes so often turn into longer moments with the Lord, and pretty soon you acquire such a taste for the presence of God, nothing else matters. You kind of want to say, get in line, take a number, because this is my A1 priority. Talking to Lisa Whittle today, her book is Five-Word Prayers, Where to Start When You Don't Know What to Say to God. It's a 40-day devotional. Got a few copies. I'd love to get one in your hands. Just email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put Five-Word Prayers in the subject line. Remember the mailing address, and we'll be back in a minute. Love that song. I wanted to let it play out a little bit. I thought maybe you needed to hear that today, that his banner over you is love, and he lavishes his love on you. He loves you so much, and he intends to see you safely home, right? Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Lisa Whittle today. She's got a new book titled Five-Word Prayers, Where to Start When You Don't Know What to Say to God, and it's a 40-day devotional, and we're going to kind of just pick and choose some of these devotional readings and talk about them. For day 8, the reading is titled Help Me to Honor My Life. I thought that was a wonderful and interesting statement. Say more about that, Lisa.
Well, you know, I think sometimes, you know, we go through life and we don't really think much about the fact that, you know, we've been given this gracious gift from the Lord. You know, our life is a beautiful gift. I think, you know, when tragedy strikes, like what happened at this church shooting recently, you know, we think more about our life and the fact that breath in our body is a gift. But, you know, through our daily life, we just numbly kind of tick through life. We do our daily routines, you know, and we don't think about the fact that, you know, while we're here, we're to honor this great gift that God has given us. And so I think it's important for us to honor what God has given us in life, to know our worth and our identity. That is an honor to God. That is honoring our life. It's to not spend our life in sort of this whirlwind of questioning you know, who am I and what am I here to do? You know, it's not that the Lord, you know, holds that against us or we should feel guilt or shame over that if we go through a time of that. But at a certain point, you know, we need to nail that down and understand that that's something that the Lord wants us to know, is why we're here and what our worth is. And so that's precious to Him, is that we would understand that, mm-hmm. and to believe that our life has purpose, and to know that He has created us with a great purpose, each one of us with a job to do and a job for the kingdom, a beautiful job for the kingdom, not that we might, you know, busy ourselves on earth to become, you know, exhausted and worn out, but that we would be buoyed by our gifts and talents that He's given us to use our life to matter. And then to get in a right relationship with God, you know, many times we don't honor our lives because we're not in the right relationship with Him. And so that's something that's very important to do. And so honoring our life is a very important thing that I think we need to do. And we need help with that many times. You know, we're human, we're flesh, and so we need God to help us honor our lives. And so that's one of the prayers in the book.
And, you know, I want to just camp here for a little bit because this needs to be talked about. So conversely, on the flip side, to live with constant and perpetual rejection, inferiority, insecurity, and not wrestle it to the ground is to dishonor your own life. And I'm saying that as someone who is deeply, profoundly rescued from amazing insecurity and anxiety. But one of the things the Lord told me as a young mom is, insecurity is just another form of selfishness, because every choice you're making is with you in mind. And I often say, Lisa, that when we don't wrestle this to the ground, we will constantly misuse time, treasure, talents to prove something that Jesus has already proven. And that is a waste of opportunity, because we're misusing our gifts, right? Because Jesus has already proven that, and we've got to get onto the business of life. Our life matters.
It's really so true. You know, and you know, I know that, you know, we really have great intentions. We want to fix ourselves. We want to, you know, figure ourselves out. And so we just keep reaching for resources that we might be able to dive deeper into our psyche and figure ourselves out and, you know, all of these things. The reality is that at a certain point, we just need to understand that, you know, we are not going to, number one, ever be able to fix ourselves. That is, the healer is the only one who's ever going to be able to heal any broken places in our heart, in our soul, from our past, all of those things. And our job is really just to say, you know, Lord, these are things I can't ever do. And I don't understand all of my past. I certainly don't understand my future or even right now. But I trust you, and I trust that you love me and you've created me, and I want to honor my life, and I want to move from this place forward, because staying stuck doesn't help anyone. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help us. It doesn't help us parent children. It doesn't help us influence a world for Jesus Christ, and we're still here. We're still breathing. And so it is, you know, it is dishonoring to God, as you say, to continue to spend our life in a whirlpool of questioning and, you know, revisiting and replaying tapes of guilt and shame and, you know, insecurity and identity issues and on and on and on. I mean, there are some of us who years and years and years has gone on and on and on, and one day we'll be buried with the same issues. And you know, it's not that we'll ever be perfect, but I just do believe that there's a call on us to move past by the grace of God and honor our life. You know,
yep. Honor our life. I love that. And you wrote in that chapter, what happens on the outside first happens on the inside. So honoring our life must start here. And just maybe that's a word for somebody listening today. Maybe you need to see a pastor, a counselor, a mentor, or a godly friend, but be humble enough to do the work with the Lord and invite Him into those places. Because when that starts to happen, you enter into a new place of abiding with God when you give Him access. Love that. Another, we've got probably about 4 minutes to our hard break at the bottom of the hour, but one of your readings is, please give me strength now. These are all 5-word prayers. Please give me strength now. Can you think of a time, Lisa, that you prayed that, and would love to just know how God met you there?
Oh, well, you know, I pray that prayer almost daily, Susie.
Yeah, me too.
Please give me strength now. Seems like, you know, every day it's an urgency, right? You know, whether I'm parenting through a tough issue, which, you know, each stage has their own challenges. So please give me strength now. I think one of the times I prayed it, and certainly interestingly, when this book came to be birthed in my heart, I didn't realize that I would be writing it while my father was dying. Hmm. And the prayer, please give me strength now, was one of the prayers that I wrote while my father was dying. And so that was a prayer that I needed, please give me strength now, because, you know, I've been a daddy's girl my whole life. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're, you know, 16, you know, 26, 46, you know, 86, whatever, when your parent leaves this earth, it's never long enough to have them. And I loved my father, and it was very difficult to watch him slip from me. He was a man's man, and just had a lot of life, a lot of gusto, and he had a rare brain disorder. And so he started with a gait. His gait we could see his walk shuffle, and then he went into a walker and eventually a wheelchair, and then he couldn't sit up. So we watched this progression, this digression of this disease, and eventually April the 2nd, he died. And I needed his strength. And I know that there are people listening that need the Lord's strength right now. They're about to go into some holidays where they're missing people, and where they've had some difficult things. Life has left them speechless. And really, Susie, that's what the book is for. It's not that I don't think the Lord and the reader can take it from here. You know, it's not that I don't think that they can figure it out about how to pray together. It's that I know that sometimes life is so deep and so heavy that we don't know where to start to get started in talking to God. And so these are just some suggestions of kind of where to do that, where to start when you don't know what to say to God, when life has left you speechless, and maybe your strength is gone. And so please give me strength now will be that spark to help get you started when you feel that your strength is gone. And so certainly that was something for me when my father was dying. That prayer in particular was one that became very precious to me.
Well, as we go to the hard break, I want to read from that chapter because I think Lisa's hitting the nail on the head, and maybe you need to hear this today. Lisa writes, the Word of God promises over and over to give us the strength we do not have in everyday life in great times of trouble. Of all the promises in the Bible, the promise of strength is among God's greatest. He granted it to prophets and kings and humble servants like his very own mother, Mary. Without his strength, a lifestyle of bravery is not possible. Hear that again. Without his strength, a lifestyle of bravery is not possible. Scripture assures us that even when our lives are spinning out of control, even when we feel powerless compared to with our circumstances, with the strength of others, God is ready and able to provide. We need only ask him in his trust in his capabilities. So for our daily comings and goings, for our difficult trials and tests, may we always remember to lift our eyes, to seek the help we need, and to pray to the God of all power who longs to help us where we lack. Please give me strength now. That's from Lisa Whittle's book, Five Word Prayers. Got three copies. Email if you'd like in on the drawing. Live the promise at myfaithradio.com. Put five word or five word prayers in that subject line. Remember that mailing address. And we will be back in a minute. Really glad to have you listening today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Lisa Whittle. Her new book is titled Five Word Prayers, Where to Start When You Don't Know What to Say to God. We've got three copies. We'd love to get your name in the drawing. Just email livethepromise at myfaithradio.com. Remember that mailing address. It just helps if you put in the subject line topic of today's conversation. You can put prayers or five word prayers, something like that. And each of these prayers, it's a 40-day devotional. So each reading has a five word prayer, like help me honor my life. I am your precious child. This is beyond my ability. Love to talk about day four. I want to hear you. You said telling God we want to hear from him is a precious declaration. It's different from needing to hear, because desire drives us differently, more purely than need. We need to hear from God, and we are likely driven by our confusion and our angst. let's see here, or the pressure, the crisis, or the pain. He responds without holding our circumstances against us, for the desperate heart touches his heart in a very deep place. Beautiful. Say more, if you would.
Yeah, it struck me as I was kind of writing about this that, you know, saying to the Lord, I want to hear you, is something different than saying, you know, let me hear from you, or I need to hear from you, you know, but I want to hear you. It's the desire, of course, you know, Susie, I wrote the book, I Want God. I know that, you know, I learned so much about the fact that the desire, our desire matters so much to the Lord, what we want and what we desire, because it really exposes our heart. It exposes where we are. It exposes how much we love him. And so wanting to hear him has to be, I can only imagine, you know, music to his ears, literally, that we would say to him, I want to hear from you. You know, it's everything to me to hear what you have to say, Lord, because you're all wise, because you know everything, because you have all the answers. Because, you know, so often we turn to other things. We turn to other people for advice and counsel. You know, we do it all the time. And again, not that that's wrong, but, you know, I find myself sometimes when I'm in a situation, you know, calling my best friend, you know, first thing, or texting someone quickly, or, you know, it's just sort of a reaction often. And, you know, when the God of the universe is the one who we need to hear from, because he has all the answers. And so it just struck me, I want to hear you has to be beautiful to the Lord for us to say that. You know, Psalm 42:1, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, God. It's a longing. It's saying, I need your counsel. I want to hear from you. And I just think that's beautiful to tell the Lord, I want to hear you. After all the other counsel we seek, to be telling him that's our heart intent.
Love that.
That just meant something to me.
It's beautiful. I mean, and we call on him in all seasons and always. And so when we are in crisis, and Psalms is, you know, full of that, where we lament or we cry out in desperation. But you're so right, you know, even apart from that, when you're not in crisis, but just because you love him, as you know he's all wise and knowing, to create some space in your life to say, I want to know what you think about, you know, what's on your heart, Lord. Break my heart for what breaks yours. And I'd love to know, just from your own life, Lisa, just times when you've waited on God and maybe he surprised you with a word of insight or just direction that you sort of didn't expect.
Oh, I mean, you know, well, I'm not good at waiting. I'll put that out there right away. it's not one of my strong suits, for sure. But, you know, any time that I have really been in a posture of waiting, been in a spirit of waiting on the Lord, he's never disappointed me with precious revelation, you know, and he's, you know, anything he would have to say or to speak is worth the wait. And so, you know, I think I'm reminded often of even times in my life, even right now, actually, is a good example. I have something that I want to write about, you know, potentially in another book, but I felt the Lord saying to me, you're not ready. There's some more things that I want to teach you and I want to show you. And so I think there have been times in my life, maybe in my younger life, that I would have wanted to hurry that up a bit. And yet I know from my life that doesn't work. And I know that when things are not in their proper time, that they truly aren't where they need to be, where the Lord wants them to be known. And so I think I'm at that place actually right now, Susie, where I feel like the Lord is saying, I know there's some things that I am showing you and that I am teaching you, but you're not ready, and I need you to wait on those before their reveal, before you put them to pen and paper, even though that's something that I love to do. And so, you know, whatever that may be, I mean, there may be other circumstances that are much harder than just, hey, don't write that book yet. But certainly I've had, you know, times in my life that there have been other circumstances of weight that have been much more difficult. And I've never, ever been disappointed when God had me wait. Yeah. I have been disappointed when I've hurried up and done it my way many times.
Mm-hmm. I've never been disappointed when God had me wait. I echo that completely. And you step into a place of favor and fruitfulness when you wait on his timing. And after all these years of walking with God and walking through those waiting seasons, I now see that, you know, he makes us wait because he's making us ready, and it is his fatherly protection over our lives. And that's what it is, he, you know, and he's arranging circumstances, but he's so invested in us that we can come to trust his character. Well, how about this one? With you, life makes sense. I think just I feel my heart at ease when I just say that, when I say that and declare that and pray that, Lord, with you, life makes sense. Say more about that one.
Well, you know, I think for me, that's a really important one, because I can look around and get discouraged very easily. I can look around and think, you know, what is going on? You know, what is happening around me? As I talked about in the top of the hour, you know, what about all the chaos? What about all the things that are going on? And even, you know, bringing it more personally, what am I here to do? What are all these things, you know, even at this stage in my life and the many things that I feel fulfilled in that God has called me to do, there are still days that your life purpose eats at you and you hope that you're making a difference in all those things. But when we know the Lord, our life does make sense. And when we understand that he has purposed for us to do the work, his work here on earth, you know, it just gives us a different kind of step in life. It gives us a different kind of perspective that without knowing the Lord, we just couldn't have that. And so I've been so grateful in my life to know the Lord and have that relationship. Otherwise, I'm not sure I would understand why I'm here at all. I don't know that I wouldn't question my life, you know, at all, because it has to be something beyond the roles we play and what we get to do. Because at some point, you know, the children we mother grow up and they leave the home and they go on and have families of their own, and they still love us, but we have a very, very different role and things like that. And so I think it's very important for us to understand that life makes sense with Jesus. And so that's probably one of those prayers that I don't know that I'd ever uttered to the Lord. With you, life makes sense. But there's something that happens when we say things like that, when we pray them to the Lord, they actually are soaked back into our heart. And they then resonate with us and then teach us in the process. Yeah. And that's one of those prayers that did that for me.
Well, it also makes you kind of okay in the not yet. I mean, there are parts of our lives that seem clear, but others don't. But we can still make that statement and it's still true. So, you know, certain parts of the story may not tie up in a nice bow at the moment, but we know that this we're on a pilgrimage. And one day it'll come to clarity for us so we can be okay with even not being okay, because Jesus is making sense of it all. I just love that. This one, day six, this is beyond my ability. And you said there's great beauty in the surrender of human limitation. Again, I just like drawing from your story because it just helps us to learn. Talk about a time when you felt like you were in over your head and you uttered a prayer like this and God met you.
Oh, this is beyond my ability is another one of those prayers that I pray almost daily, I think, because I feel completely inept many times in life, certainly in my own ability to be able to do. I think, you know, this past year I've written and released 2 books. I buried my father, coming on the heels of sending my son off to college. So launching one in that way, we also moved. So, you know, there were several large life events that happened, and, you know, altogether they were just many things that I had to shoulder, and, you know, on top of just other, you know, health things and just all the many things that all of us deal with in different ways. You know, this is beyond my ability, you know, became one of those prayers that I literally did pray almost every day and then still do, because, you know, we walk around a lot, I think, as humans and think, you know, I've kind of got this, and then life brings us down to size and we realize, no, I actually don't. But the truth is that everything is basically beyond our ability to be able to do. I mean, you know, right, Susie? It's like we can't, you know, we might feel like we're doing it. And, you know, it's not that I get down on myself. It's not that I don't feel confident. It's just that I know who I am.
Yeah.
And I know who I am in the Lord. And I feel much better talking about who I am in the Lord, because that's a limitless strength. That's a nothing is impossible kind of a thing. And I'd rather have that conversation than talk about the things that Lisa Whittle can do with her hands.
Amen.
Because that is going to be a short conversation.
Yeah.
But when I talk about the Lord, I know that there's just nothing that can't be accomplished. And so this prayer has become very, very precious to me. And one that I have no problem praying, because I know that my abilities are very, very short. And in comparison to the God of the universe, there, I have no abilities, and I love that, and very comfortable in that space.
Boy, me too, as well. And anybody who's had their life upended by health or any kind of other thing knows really how fragile life is. So even the control we think we have, we don't have. And I want to we're going to go to our last break here in just a moment, but I want to read from this chapter. This is Beyond My Ability. Lisa Whittle writes this: we defer to God in all situations. Jesus knows all. He heals all. He solves all. He is the vine. We are merely the branches. Our task is just to depend on Him. Acknowledging that a situation is beyond our ability is allowing our soul to experience the deep ministry of a faithful God to meet the needs we cannot. So whatever we're facing today, however we need God to move, however our humanity limits our achievements, may we rest instead of wrestle, trust instead of stress. Jesus, take this, which we cannot do. This is beyond my ability. Not beyond God's, though. Talking to Lisa Whittle, her book, 5-Word Prayers. We'll continue this great conversation in just a moment. Great conversation today with my friend Lisa Whittle. She's got a new book titled 5-Word Prayers, Where to Start When You Don't Know What to Say to God. And it's a 40-day devotional. Each chapter utters a 5-word prayer, just gives you some short thoughts on that particular prayer. Let's talk about this one, Lisa. Thank you for carrying me. You tell a story in this chapter about Mr. Charles, a deacon at your Baptist church, showed up at the hospital when you were young and carried you down the hallway. Talk about that and just what that meant. Make the application for us.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting what we remember from our childhood, right? Especially as I get older, I remember so little about many things. But I can remember very vividly when I was younger, I had an ear infection. And like many children, I was prone to them. But this one time in particular, I had an ear infection that sent me to the hospital. And I was there and I was in just a lot of pain. And this deacon in our church, as I said, my father was a pastor, he came, and his name was Charles Castleberry. I'll never forget him. He was this very tall man and had broad shoulders, and he picked me up. I was in my, you know, chair in the hospital. He picked me up, and he carried me down the hall. He would just walk me in the hallway back and forth, and I would kind of, you know, I would cry a little bit, but he was carrying me, and there was nothing that would help soothe my earache, and it didn't solve it, but it soothed it. There's nothing that soothed it like being carried by Mr. Charles, and it was just something that was very precious and sweet, and I remember it to this very day. And I thought about that as I was writing this, thank you for carrying me, about the idea of being carried by the Lord. And just the precious act of, you know, being carried, and what that really feels like and how that felt to me at that moment, and you know, how the Lord carries us through so many things we don't even really know or realize, how He carries us through life. And you know, of course, a lot of us know about, you know, that famous poem about the two sets of footprints, where, you know, we're asking Lord, you know, why is there only one set of footprints in that hard season of life, and the Lord says, you know, it's not because I abandoned you, it's because I carried you. And we all love that so much. And I think it's because this idea of him carrying us, picking us up, putting arms around us that we can't see, but carrying us, is such a beautiful thought. And, you know, the verse in that chapter is Psalm 68:19, praise the Lord, praise God, our Savior, for each day he carries us in his arms. And I just love that. It just meant a lot to me. It means a lot to me that he carries me, even when I don't realize through the day how much he's carried me and throughout my life.
I have to read this, and it's you know, like half the chapter. It's a little page here, but from your book, if you don't mind. It's just so beautiful. And then have you comment on it. That'd be all right? I will nurture you with your own words because it's so beautiful. You write, we don't ever outgrow his nurturing arms, no matter how old we get. Maybe you needed to hear that today, friend listening. We don't ever outgrow God's nurturing arms, no matter how old we get. There's no cap on when he's through carrying us, and we never get too heavy. Every day, he's ready to carry us again, willing and able to take on that job again, even when we don't know how to ask. Beautiful Jesus, no one is equally strong and sensitive like our God. My friend, think of your own life now. Imagine your journey, those times you may have felt abandoned by everyone else. Maybe that moment is now. Maybe you've even felt abandoned by God. God will never judge us for the way we feel, but he will ask us to lay aside those feelings for the truth of his word and to trust in who he says he is. He's carried you even when you couldn't feel it or haven't even known it. He carried you through that divorce. He carried you through when that person you love so much went to heaven. He carried you through that job loss and the struggle with your identity and the deep wounding you never thought you could get past. Praise him for this. Love him for this. God picked you up, put his arms around you, carried you even at your worst, even when you resisted and tried to walk away. That is a God worth praising and loving. Caring, loving, nurturing God, thank you for carrying me. That is just beautiful. And I just felt like someone needed to hear that today. Lisa, I wonder if you'd speak to that person who maybe feels they're exactly there, maybe too heavy, too old, they've gone too far for the Lord to carry them.
Well, I would certainly say that, you know, I understand that the humanity and the feelings of, you know, feeling like we're too something.
Yeah.
You know, I think we all feel that in some way. We all feel like we're too whatever it is. We're too old. We're too used up. We've resisted too much. I think all the struggle with feeling like we have blown it royally or we've asked too much of God, you know. And, you know, I think the beautiful thing about it is not only that, you know, each day that we're breathing, we have the opportunity. But it's not just the opportunity. It's that God is longing for us to ask him to be the carrier. You know, he wants us to come to him, to lean on him, to fall into his arms and to rest there. And so, you know, I guess my encouragement would be to just come to that place of letting your Father do what he does best and carry you and nurture you. And anything that we might think up as a reason not to be carried is a thought of our own doing. It's not something that the Lord would want us to have to keep us from him. And so I would just encourage anybody listening to just come to the Lord right now and just ask him to hold them and to love them like a father, only a father can, and come in the posture of being a child. And those things are beautiful, and it doesn't matter what our age is. And that is one thing that I love about the Lord is we are all children to him. And we can act accordingly, and that is beautiful to me.
Amen. Just got a few minutes left. I'm thinking we maybe can squeeze in one, maybe two more of these. Day 20 is, I welcome your major realignment. Again, friends, notice these are all five-word prayers. This is a big one. I welcome your major realignment. And your opening lines are this. Bold, audacious prayers can scare us, but it is the bold, audacious prayers we need to pray to see our lives change. So speak to this one, if you would.
Yeah, this is a kind of a tough one on the surface. I welcome your major realignment, but it's interesting because it's been one of the most powerful prayers for the reader. I've gotten feedback and everyone says, I love this prayer. And so it surprised me a little bit, but I think it shows that we do want God to to change our lives. And in order for that to happen, you know, we've got to welcome his major realignment. And we pray a prayer like that, what we're saying is not just, hey, I'm not going to resist. It's not just to say, I'm not going to resist you, God. It's to say, I am going to welcome you, God. I'm going to turn the porch light on. I'm going to be waiting with anticipation. And then when you come inside, I'm not going to get in your way. I'm going to let you do what you need to do. Because really, a major realignment is a cleanup effort for God. And that's when our life can change. And that's when God can make us like new. And there's many of us that we want to change. And we're tired of the same old thing. We're tired of the same, you know, stale commitments and all of those kinds of things. And if we truly want to be different moving forward, we've got to pray a prayer like this, which is, I welcome your major realignment, and trust that God will do it in a loving way, but will do it in the way he wants. And we can't dictate what that looks like. There's something beautiful about opening up to him and saying, I'm not going to get in your way. I'm going to welcome you. And you do what you need to do in my life.
Mm-hmm. And anybody who's dared to pray that, even if they were surprised by how things got rearranged, when they got to the other side, hit their stride, they will say, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. This is where the abundance of grace is. This is where peace is. This is where fulfillment and fruit is. But we hang on so tight that we're afraid of that process, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and, you know, freedom is on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, but fear keeps us from so many things. And it's no wonder that, you know, Satan doesn't want us free. He wants us bound. And so if he can just keep us in sort of this state of fear and, you know, make us afraid of what might be on the other side or a major shakeup operation, then he can keep us bound to all the things that will keep us from our life purpose and not being in that whirlpool of questioning our life that we talked about earlier. And so at a certain point, we've got to say, what do I really want? And ask the Lord to do what he needs to do so that we can get free of all these things that we need to be free of.
Hmm. Well, one last question for you. Day 31, I will cherish your grace. We've got about a minute before it's time to pray. But just say a word of what that means, what that looks like.
Well, I think, you know, we love the idea of grace, and we talk about grace. It's kind of a buzzword in Christianity, but to cherish it and to really, really understand what that really is, and I say in that chapter, the extent to which we cherish the grace of God is the extent to which we deeply inhale the gift of life.
Mm-hmm.
To really, really acknowledge the sacrifice of our God, to value it and esteem it, and to take pleasure in it. I mean, that is what the key is. And so it's not enough just to say, hey, God, thank you for your grace, but to say, I'm going to cherish your grace. I'm going to live with the attitude, not just acknowledging, hey, this is what you've given me, but to spend my days in that attitude of appreciation for it that has allowed us to live and grab onto it.
Love that. Breathe it in. Love for you to pray for that person today who's listening, who knows that this is what they need, is to just cherish his grace and trust him with what he's up to in their lives. Would you pray?
Yes, Lord, I thank you for finding us. I thank you for loving us. I do thank you for your great grace. And I pray, God, that you would help us to move forward and understanding that it's not about word count, but it's about heart intent. God, may we seek you with all of our heart. God, may we love you for your sacrifice. Father, you are everything, and may you be our everything today. I pray for the ones struggling, God, that they would seek you right now and know that you want to carry them, that you love them so very much. You've created them with a great purpose, that they would move forward in that in their life even today. We love you so much. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lisa, great job today. Thank you so much for your time. What a great conversation.
Thank you, Susie.
Always good to have you. That's Lisa Whittle, friends. Title of her book, 5-Word Prayers. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next is our good friend Gary Thomas. He's got a new book titled Sacred Parenting, How Raising Children Shapes Our Souls. Wow, wait till you hear what he has to say. So don't go away. Another great hour is up ahead. Thanks. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.